you know what? My skin is bad today, and that's okay because I'm fucking beautiful. Sorry if I can't say fuck. I
said you can it twice. Say fuck. Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm fucking beautiful.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Hannah.
This is Pretty Zitty. And I think we've both been feeling this week pretty shitty about being pretty zitty, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah, it's been a really hard week, and something that I think has been a bright spot in it has been thinking back on the conversation that we're going to share with you today. We talked to Taylor Erickson, and they are a 25-year-old vocalist from the northern suburbs of Chicago. They are just a ray of sunshine. Ellen and I both felt that we were in the presence of someone who had a lot of clarity and just beautiful thoughts about how to embrace inner and outer beauty when you feel like you have none.
Yeah, Taylor was so nice to talk to. Their energy was like infectious. They were just so like beautiful inside and out. And we talked to them over like a Google Hangout, and it was so pixelated, and Taylor was so beautiful. Like, it was crazy. Like, yeah. I loved listening to them talk about everything, and they were so open with us, and we had only talked online before, and it was just amazing. Like, we all just connected with one another, and I was smiling afterwards, and when Hannah and I both were talking, like with them, and after, we were like, that is such a mind goal, like, to be have that mindset and to be always trying to be positive, but also like respecting your own emotions and always trying to be aware that, yeah, your skin might not get better, but you don't have to let it affect you.
Yeah.
And right now is with my mind in such like a crappy place about being pretty zitty, like re-listening to this conversation is a huge, it's like kind of awesome because it's just a reminder of like all that your mind is capable of being.
All right, Hannah, you kick us off, baby.
Yeah.
Sure. So, Taylor, I think the first thing we'll have you do is introduce yourself just briefly.
Okay, so hi, my name is Taylor Erickson. I am from the northern suburbs of Chicago. My pronouns are she, they, and I'm very excited to be here speaking with you both today. Thanks for having
me on. So we're really excited. You're such a positive person already. I can feel it through your energy through the computer.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
So the way I got in touch with Taylor here, actually, is we have a mutual friend who reached out to me and said that you had made this amazing Instagram post where you opened up about your experience with acne. And I've read that post, but Ellen has not. So I was actually wondering if you wouldn't mind reading it just for us and for our listeners to hear what you had to say.
Ooh. Yeah, hold on. My phone's like 2 feet further away from me than headphones can
go. For it.
Give me one second. I would be happy to. Yeah, just give me 1 second to pull that up here. But I'm really happy that we were able to kind of connect through that post and our mutual friend.
Mutual friends. Love to have one someday.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We love to see it. All right. I got it pulled up right here. Do you just want me to read the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Sure. Okay. So the post starts in all caps, midweek rawness. And it continues on by saying, I don't know who needs to hear this, but just a friendly reminder that acne does not make you look any less beautiful, handsome, or, in all caps, hot and spicy. I'm a mixed kid with mixed skin and have always had terrible acne. I have craters in my face, tons of acne scarring, and when I get a pimple, it's never less than the size of a volcano meant for ants. Parentheses, why ants need a volcano, I'll never know, end parentheses. But what was once a huge insecurity for me is actually now one of my favorite parts of my face. Own yourself. You are stunning. Acne is cute as hell. You, cute as hell. Your pimples are cute as hell. Sending you, your craters, your mixed skin, your oily face, your clogged pores, your volcano pimples, all my love. Because girl, they are worth that love because they're on your stunning face.
Oh my God, I love that. We are both like, it's happening. Oh.
Yes.
I love that because I haven't seen the post. So I'm coming into this. I was like, Hannah told me about it. And I was kind of hoping, I didn't want to ask Hannah to tell me it because I feel like she wanted my raw reaction because it's so good though.
Thank you.
Like, and it's so well written and funny and also true. And like, I feel like I'm just glad that you decided to talk to us about this and like also were able to post that because was it easy or hard or did you feel nervous?
I truthfully didn't. It was rather easy for me to kind of post. And you know, some days are better than others when it comes to the insecurity of the pimples on my face. But for whatever reason, that morning that I posted it, I think the inspiration was kind of drawn from my sister. So my sister and I, she's younger than me by like 5 years, I think. Her and I have been having a lot more open conversations about our personal insecurities, and I'm trying to help guide her through those as much as I can from an adult perspective / an older sister perspective. And one of the things all of the women actually wrestle with in my family is really harsh acne, lots of acne scarring. So I'm half white, half Mexican, and coming from my mom directly, she's 100% Mexican, and she has just lots of acne scarring, lots of miscolored spots on her face. You know, it's always been kind of an issue. And I had been talking to my sister about that insecurity that morning, and I think it kind of came from this place of wanting to make my sister and anyone else who needed it to just feel this level of empowerment, you know, just to have that reassurance of, you know, hey, if you are not any less beautiful because of your skin texture or because of the, you know, the color of your skin or what have you. And I wanted my sister to feel better. And I, at the same time, it kind of felt like this collective message that needed to be spread out. So I posted it and didn't look back.
That's awesome. When did you first notice that you were struggling with your skin?
It was probably in my more insecure time of my life, and it probably middle school, I'd say, right around that lovely, you know, volcanic puberty thing, just kind of
drowns
you a bit. And it probably was when I was 11 or 12, and I started noticing. My pimples know no bounds, so they don't really have limits as to where they are located on my face per se. But I rather more frequently have these giant pimples that happen right along my cheeks and kind of go along my cheekbone. And I noticed it was happening a lot more often. And then it started spreading to my nose, and then it started spreading to my forehead, and then my chin, and underneath my chin. And I remember just feeling unbelievably insecure. And you know, my mom was really great about having those conversations with me. You know, it proved to be very beneficial for me to have somebody to talk to about it. Because at the time, if my sister's 5 years younger than me, if I'm 12, she's 7. She didn't have acne at that time. So it all kind of started probably around like the prepubescent going into puberty kind of stage, I think, is where it all kind of came to a head. And I just wanted it gone. I really did. I was very insecure about it.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things did you try at that age? Either like products you tried, or like, did you wear makeup at all to cover it up? What were your coping strategies when you were younger?
I made the poor decision of trying everything under the sun with little to no research done about the products that I was using. I think it was such a mindset of desperation to rid myself of the acne that I didn't care what it was, if it hurt or, you know, what have you. I just wanted it gone. So I remember, I think I started with your classic like bar of body soap, And then I think I tried, I think it's like a Neutrogena product, and it's like a pore cleanser, and it comes in bright colors, and it has teeny little beads in it that are supposed to give you this nice tingling sensation to prove to you, like, hey, I'm working, and, you know, and I tried that. Acne got worse again. And then I tried, oh gosh, Proactive.
Mm-hmm.
I tried Proactive for a while, and that made my skin even worse. So then I tried cycling back to home remedies. I tried toothpaste, and I made the rather large mistake of using a toothpaste that had baking soda in it.
Oh, ouch.
So I was going to a wedding the following day. I think it was 13. I put toothpaste on overnight, you know, that old chestnut, and the baking soda kind of poured underneath my skin. And if the pimple was just a couple millimeters wide, it actually became like a half an inch growth that appeared on my face. So when I kind of realized that maybe products weren't meant for me, or just, you know, being at that age and not being able to do the research or feeling confident to ask my parents for hundreds of dollars worth of acne treatment at such a young age, I did do makeup for a long time, and I used it very heavily. And I mean that in the sense of I didn't use the right products for my face, because I just wanted to, I wanted to mask the acne as best as I could. And that ultimately ended up making things worse as well. So I kind of learned this pattern of, okay, products make my acne worse. Makeup makes my acne worse. I'm just going to kind of go bare skin and see how that works out. And that's probably the only thing that kind of works for me. I rarely, if ever, touch my face, wash my face, you know, put makeup on my face, just because my skin is very, very sensitive. You scratch it and a line of pimples pops up. So I'm still learning, even at 25, but prepubescent Taylor had her struggles. That's for sure.
The toothpaste is something that Hannah and I have both tried, and I used, so my parents subscribe to Consumer Reports, which is basically that magazine that's like, this is the best bang for your buck. And then, like, there is this toothpaste is called Ultra Bright, and it's a dollar, and it actually is like, it ranks the highest on how white you can get your teeth. And I actually still use it on my teeth.
Wow.
To this day, Ultra Bright.
We are not sponsored by Ultra Bright.
Ellen Turner. We are not sponsored by Ultra Bright, but it is an Ellen Turner essential. I will say that much. But I put that.
Yes.
I read it on, probably Cosmo or something stupid that I stole from my older sister.
Mm.
And they were just like, put like us, like if you have a line of them, just do like a little bit, a lot, and then the most. So it was like, try to gauge how much of the actual toothpaste is going to work for you. But I was like, oh, I'm just going to do a lot. So I actually went to sleep. I had, I think, a row right along my jaw, probably when I was 14, where I just took toothpaste and just went like that and then band-aided it.
Ooh. Oh, God.
And I didn't, and I wasn't going to tell my parents or my sister. And like,
no, it's so embarrassing.
That was right when I got a new, my own room. And then I just like fell asleep with it band-aided on. Then I woke up and I had the same thing as you, where it like, it turned into a growth.
Yeah.
Like overnight. And I was like, oh my God, like, how am I supposed to explain this? So I actually told people I got stung, I think.
Oh, the lies I would weave about what was acne versus what was like, this is a mosquito bite. I fell on my face and rocks got into my skin. I don't know.
Good spider bite or two, you know.
Allergic reactions, like anything that would also be embarrassing, right? Because like it is embarrassing to have a giant mosquito bite on your face. But when you have acne, that's so preferable as a kid to be like, yeah, giant spider bit me in the night. I don't know.
Bit you in the night.
I did the same thing.
I think that like as a kid, acne is so serious. And like, so you're 25, Taylor?
I am.
Okay, so I just turned 25 too, and Hannah's 24. So we're like obviously the same age.
Yeah.
So 25.
Hey, mid-20s?
plus or minus one. Yeah, mid-20s. Can I get it from a mid-20s?
Hey, hey.
But it's like, do you find it still like awkward to have acne at our age, or are you just like you've owned it now?
Right, because there's this idea that you're supposed to grow out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's for teenagers.
Right.
You know, even my dermatologist told me that. He's like, oh, you'll grow out of it. How does it feel to have acne at 25?
It's a mixed bag. I tend to only get insecure about it when people reference how young I look. And I think in my mind that that ultimately kind of pairs with, you have lots of acne on your face, you must be a teenager. But, you know, the older I've gotten, I have just not cared as much about the perceptions that people have on my face, particularly when it comes to my acne. I believe I just don't care as much anymore. Like I've become a lot more comfortable in my skin, and, you know, be that as it may, you know, maybe our acne should be gone, maybe it shouldn't be, but at my age in life currently right now, I'm tying this back to my mother as well, kind of realizing that there's a potential for me to have this for a lifetime. It seems a lot less daunting to know that someone like my mother has experienced this her entire life. And she's phenomenal. She is killing it at her job. And it's not something that has been limiting for her in her life. Is it something she wrestles with? Yes. Does she wish it was gone? Yes. But it's not limiting. And that's kind of the mindset I have about it now. It's just, I'm feeling a lot more comfortable with it the more that I get older, and realizing that I'm not going to allow it to limit me for the things that I want to do, for, you know, meeting new people, for hanging out with my boyfriend's older friends, you know, that whole thing.
That's amazing. That sums up a lot of what Ellen and I have talked about. We used to work together, actually. We don't work together anymore, but I know we've talked about this feeling of having acne, whether it's in a professional environment or not, like being around older people and having acne. There mm-hmm. is that, at least we've had that fear, like it sounds like you've had, where are people looking at me and maybe not taking me as seriously?
Yes.
Because I look younger, because acne is associated with adolescence and maybe immaturity, therefore, is like a connection that people draw. So that's hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think you're right that you can't, you know, like that's other people are going to think what they're going to think. You can't control that.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like one of the reasons why we started this podcast is to have some sort of therapy about this, to be kind of, to get to the point where you're at. Like, I'm still struggling to accept my skin as mm-hmm. it is. And, you know, I've had acne since I was 10. So it's been 15 years now, which is more than half my life, which is terrifying. Right. A, because I'm afraid of my own mortality, and B, because that means that I've lived for so long, which kind of freaks me out.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. And the fact that we're all gonna die is just,
God, don't, Ellen, we can't go there. It's,
I know,
just,
it's just terrifying.
That is my biggest fear. Yeah, I am with you.
But yes. Wait, so Taylor, I do want to ask you, you mentioned earlier that you don't really wash your face, mm-hmm. but do you use any products that you like, or like from makeup or like skincare, or do you just avoid all of it?
I feel like from my traumatic experiences of both of those segues growing up, I've just avoided all of it. I think the only time I ever actually washed my face, which again, I guess is becoming more frequent because I'm sweating a lot more with working out, is when I'm sweating. And it's when I feel the literal dirt kind of piling up on my face after a nice sweaty workout. So I'll wash my face, but it's kind of doing a full circle back to prepubescent Taylor that didn't know what she was doing. It's still just a regular like bar of soap, just because it's I have very oily skin naturally. And, you know, the bar of soap kind of draws the oil out of my skin. So it makes me feel a little bit better, but I actively realize that that's not what I should be doing. But to your question, I've kind of just been avoiding all of it. I mean, even when I go to work, I mean, I'm working remotely now, but when I would go to work, I wouldn't wear makeup. I think the only makeup that I ever wore was mascara.
There is actually a couple of really good bar soaps for skin. I found this place, it's by my house. It's called Mojo Spa, Cosmetics, and they have, I'm looking it up right now online. So they have a ton of clarifying bar soaps. The one that they recommended me, which I did use for a little bit, was called Go Green.
and it was a gentle, deep cleansing, soothing face soap. And they gave me two choices. There's one called Bombshell, which is for acne-based skin. It was like oily to combination, but I would actually classify, knowing more about skincare now after so long, is I have sensitive skin.
Yes.
It's oily, it's dry, yes. It's combination, but overall it is just sensitive. It is.
Yeah.
But it's if you really like want just like a nice, I would recommend that, or there's like the Shea Moisture Black African Bar Soap.
Oh, that's a good one.
If you like bar soap, those are two that are so good.
Yeah.
Is that the one you use now? Is that okay. Yeah.
No, I love that.
It's so good. It's so good. But Taylor, you're a singer, right?
I am, yes.
Okay. I thought so. That's what Hannah told me. And I was like, I think she is a singer.
She's got the microphone. Yeah, you got the microphone for it.
I still got a lot to learn about this thing, but I definitely feel like more of a singer with this in-home studio mic. It helps with the appearance, mm-hmm. I think.
So did you just get all that stuff for your singing?
I did. I think around Christmas time, if you've seen Parks and Rec, I treated myself because I, in the last like year or two, took the big leap with trying to be a vocalist, and the dream is to be one full time. And I have just, you know, what am I, 25? So if I'm taking the leap at like 23, I have spent little to no time figuring out studio equipment. So I have it on like a vision board. You can't see it, but it's off to my left here. And it says, work on understanding / utilizing recording and producing equipment. So I have this goal for myself that I'm going to be learning how to figure this out more. So this is actually the first time I've actually used it in an interactive setting. So this is
love it,
a first for me. So thank you for the opportunity.
Love it.
I bought everything this past Christmas so I could kind of figure everything out. And that way now it worked out even better because I can work on recording things at home and trying to put music down and stuff like that.
What kind of music do you sing?
We made our own genre for it because it kind of covers a lot of bases. And I really don't want to, I'm not that pompous person that's like, well, we don't sound like anybody else. You know what I mean? But
you can do that.
We kind of made this genre for ourselves. It's called Chicago Heartcore. And it's this music that has an underlying message of spreading love and community, whether it be happy or sad words. But our influences, you know, people always say Paramore is the first one that they hear. I'll just say it's an alternative rock band just to kind of get a general scope, but it's got some spoken word in it. It's got a lot of things you can kind of bob your head to. Sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's loud. So That's the umbrella, though. It's either Chicago hardcore or it's alternative rock, whatever you'd prefer to use.
I love that.
That term, hardcore, is so cool. Yeah.
It's cute.
It's a very good term. Yeah, you should TM that. We'll keep it in the podcast, but I'm going to let you know that you need to register, trademark that, just so none of these people...
TM. Vocal TM.
Yeah, so somebody can... so these people know that they're not going to... you're not stealing this. No thanks.
It's original. Stars.
Also, I love that you treated yourself because I've always been this way since I was a little kid. If I got birthday money, or even now when I get a paycheck every so often, but I have such a hard time treating myself to like nicer stuff. Literally, my mic stand right now, I don't even want to show you. It is, I have a condenser mic attached to a lamp. So,
oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's sexy.
Yeah, please.
That,
yes!
Can you see that?
Yes.
That's quite smart.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I don't know. That's like part of self-care and like being kind to yourself. Like, I always make myself work so much harder to get stuff done. And I don't know. You're inspiring me. I need to just buy better stuff for myself.
Hey, go for it. You deserve it. And that's something I've always struggled with as well. I never, and it goes to this very deep rabbit hole of kind of sifting through childhood traumas for me. But I always am now learning as an adult that I never, ever spent money on myself or, you know, treated myself because A, I thought I wasn't deserving. B, I didn't think I was a worthy enough person to have nice things. And C, because when we were younger, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So in my mind, it's always been like, save money, work harder, be in survivor mode, you know, even with, even yeah. tying it back, even with things like acne products. Like, I think I splurged on Proactiv and I felt terrible about it. I felt like I didn't deserve it. And I felt like it was just this heap of self-worth issues, at least for me. That's not yeah. a blanket idea for
everybody.
No,
that's relatable. Yeah. That's really relatable.
I never... Mm-hmm. Proactiv is... It's not expensive now, but it was so expensive when we were growing up. Like...
Yes.
It was three payments in 1995. That is not cheap. It is
No, especially if you're like 12 years old. I don't have that kind
yeah.
of money.
Yeah. I never was able to buy
that. To babysit a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The babysitting rates when we were kids were so low. I would babysit kids for like 7 hours and get $20. That's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now yeah, kids are getting paid by the hour, like $15 an hour. I'm like, this is more than people are getting paid at governmental, federal, minimum wage jobs.
That's more than I make.
The kids got a monopoly. They do.
Like, it's really insane. And like, I mean, acne can be so cruel because how are, as children, like it's, in a way it's kind of less cruel now because I can buy things that I like. And I am, Taylor, what is your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
You're an earth sign.
Yes, I am.
I'm an earth sign. That's why.
Shout out, earth signs.
And okay, so Hannah is on the cusp of being a Capricorn, and I feel she's not a Capricorn. You are a what's
Aquarius.
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 I feel like you are both of them, though.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wait, where are you going with this? Very Capricorn tendencies. Well, where I was going is so I'm a Taurus, and Tauruses love to treat themselves. Mm. We love high quality goods and high quality services.
So we're talking about like, oh, we don't do that enough, and you're like, can't relate.
Can't relate.
I spend a lot of money on my face. Like, that is my like, I will do anything. I will buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I know you're the one that introduces me to new products. You're like, I love this, I love that. Recently there was a sale at Sephora. I literally bought nothing. I didn't even really browse. Ellen spent maybe a half hour telling me about her products. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. But then I just put in another Sephora order, like a couple.
Ellen.
Yes. Oh my God. Treat yourself, Ellen.
I love it. Oh, I wanted to ask Taylor, we've been asking people, like, what are you doing? Obviously, the world sucks. Everything sucks. Everything's horrible.
Everything sucks.
In a lot of ways because of the pandemic. What are you doing to not go, I don't know, just like not lose your shit? Like, what are you doing to like take care of yourself? What is working for you? Mm. And even if the answer is nothing, because that's kind of where I'm at. I'm struggling with it a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I have a bit of a unique situation here at home. To start, I am isolated from my own family within my own house because I'm a high-risk person. So I have family members that are still going in and out of the house. I'm up here all the time, and that has proven to be unbelievably lonely. So I sleep in here, I work out in here, I work in here, I do music in here. I also do, I interview bands like locally / internationally, kind of asking the same questions. And I have found one of the main things that has helped me during this pandemic, because I've felt so lonely, is any form of connection with people. So this conversation that we're having now is giving me a lot of energy just because it's real time. I mean, I'm not anywhere near either of you, but it's, you know, it's real time conversation and we're engaged and it's great. I've been working on trying to write more, though it has been proving to be quite difficult. My mind is still having a hard time wrapping around a lot of what's been going on. And you know, in my interviews with the bands, they always ask me if we're writing right now. And I'm like, kind of. I'm feeling very unmotivated. And it's definitely hard to kind of push through that and push through the fear. But on my good days, you know, Sometimes it's Netflix. Sometimes it's journaling. More recently, though, I've been getting back into the habit of working out very consistently. And that lovely, is it dopamine? That surge.
Like endorphins.
Endorphins, thank you. It's all of it. It's all of it, right? Endorphins, thank you. That kind of surge of endorphins has been really helping me out a lot. Because I think the better I feel physically, the better I feel mentally. So I'd say one of my main practices is doing yoga. Having that staple is really good, you know, getting your body to move and to stretch. But then for more internal purposes, I do things like journaling, listening to lots of music, trying to connect with people in any way that I can, and just trying to maintain some form of connection so I don't go absolutely insane in these four walls, which that's a whole other thing. But yeah. So it kind of depends on the day, but ultimately I just try to lean into whatever my body is telling me to lean into, if that makes sense.
Totally.
It makes a lot of sense. Being alone, it feels like connection is the only thing that's keeping me going. Mm-hmm. And I'm living with my parents. And I think just connecting with people is so, wow. If you didn't know what was important before quarantine, right. You know it now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's the beauty. I think it's going to be a really beautiful thing that's going to be birthed from this whole experience, is kind of having that somewhat harsh but really profound realization of all of the things that you took for granted before all of this. So things like connection, or for me, Emma, one of my love languages, my main one, is physical touch. So hugging people, I get a lot of energy from that and a lot of love and connection. So something as simple as hugging a person, I haven't hugged a person in almost 3 months. And so my heart is just so sad. But to your point, I think it's going to be a really nice transition. At least I'm hopeful that it will be, so that after this, we can kind of really take advantage of the things that we maybe were taking for granted before, you know?
Yeah. Taylor, is there anything else that we haven't asked you that you wanted to talk about? We've definitely covered a lot.
Yeah, we covered some ground today. You know, we talked about COVID mechanisms during the pandemic, you know, where your acne originated from, what products do you use. We have covered a lot of ground, I think.
Yeah, if there's nothing that you have to add, that's totally perfect. Like, you've given us so many amazing stories. And I think Ellen and I, like, you've been talking sometimes and we've been looking at each other, like, being like, oh, yes. Like, oh,
yeah.
And I think that the mindset that you have about your skin is so beautiful and something that I know we're both working toward. Because
mind goals.
Yeah.
That's so
because, you know, we still struggle with having to shift our mindset, to, like, you know, viewing ourselves as like whole people and not just centering in on our skin.
Right.
So it's been so lovely to hear you talk about your journey, and I'm very inspired.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
Of course.
And just to reassure, this journey is still very active for me as well. So where I have found confidence in my skin, most days there's some really harsh days where I don't want to say hate, because that's really strong, but I would just rather my acne be gone and, you know, to get rid of that flaw. So it's an active journey. It really is. But I think the more that we learn to be grateful for the flaws that we have, I think the more that we learn to see that outer beauty is not limited, it's completely limitless. You can have acne, you can have a surgery scar, you can have one eye, and you are just stunning through and through and through. And I think the more that you promote self-care, really tap into, at least for me, like tap into traumas, learn from them, learn how to love yourself, you know, see your body as just this precious, valuable, I don't even want to say thing, it's just this life form, life form.
Yeah.
It's just beyond words. I mean, if you really take the time to think about what your body is and what it's made up of and the miracle that it is that you even exist right now, the less concerning my facial acne is to me, just because I don't know. I'm rambling now again, but
no,
I just want to reassure you that it's an active journey. You know, it never ends.
And yeah.
You got good days, you got bad days, but the fact that you're even trying, that's the important part, you know, to aim for self-love, to have that self-motivation of like, you know what? My skin is bad today and that's okay because I'm fucking beautiful. Sorry if I can't say fuck. I
said you can it twice. Say fuck. Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm fucking beautiful. And sometimes it's enough and sometimes it isn't. It's everyone has their own story.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's just important that we try to write one.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We've loved talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed speaking with you. And this is so nice. Thank you so much for having me on. I think one of the first things I think it was Ellen said, like, you have such good energy. Like, I felt that from you both right away. Like, there was just this, like, connective energy. So I'm so happy to have shared this last hour and some change with the both of you, getting to know you and talking about something that's so supremely underrepresented and not talked about, and it should be normalized. And I just want to thank you both for creating a platform where conversations like this are possible, because up until now, I've never publicly and for an extended period of time sat with someone, two people now, and two people that I don't know, and have just talked about something that has been a large insecurity through my entire life. And I'm just very grateful for this opportunity. And I really hope that having more conversations like this can allow it to become more normalized so that it doesn't become this, you know, this like microscopically flawed, like telescope that people see, but it just, that acne may be kind of seen as beautiful and it's a part of you and you're beautiful. So all parts of you are beautiful, flawed or not.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. We'll be in touch then.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Bye guys.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Some days you're going to like your acne and your face and your body, and other days the best you can hope for is being neutral about it.
Yeah, and don't let that shit stop you. Basically. That's what
basically,
I think.
Basically, yeah.
So Taylor is the first in a series of people we are talking to about their skin stories. And these are people who have acne and who are also incredibly amazing and funny and nice and cute and awesome and beautiful and lovely. And we love them.
Yes.
So if you want to hear Taylor's music, you can check it out at splits.bandcamp.com. That's their band, Splits, which is, again, based in Chicago.
Yes. And also check back in 2 weeks. We're going to have a super special, scary episode. It's not Halloween, but time has no meaning. So why not make it a spooky Halloween special? That's what's coming for you.
Time has absolutely no meaning anymore. And my only goal in life is to be Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate and review our podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty Zitty is produced by us, Hannah and Ellen.
Original music by Blade 2.